Wade must have had a really emotional talk last week. thank you for that opening. It was very inspiring. And thank you for reading the verse 1 and 2 of Hebrews 12. Before we start, there's just one request I have. I had sent it out an email, but it's one that David Bouk had sent down to us from Kajarpik. And that is, if we could really put a lot of prayer into one of the young people up there. His name is Gilbert. He is going through a rough time. There's a couple of pictures of Gilbert on the wall out there. He's one of these kids that's always smiling. You know, I think he was the first one that met us last year, sitting there eating a popsicle, I still remember. But he's having real family problems, and it is affecting him, and Dave is really worried. And just appreciate it if you just keep him in prayer, just keep the name Gilbert in prayer. I was just flipping around images on the internet and came across that picture of Tim Tebow, who everybody loves. That was his last game, I think, in the college league in the state finals before he moved on. And guess what verses he had printed on his face? Hebrews 12, 1 to 2, though. There's always confusion. I was just reading the article with it. The non-church thought it was Hebrews 12, 12, but the church said, no, it's Hebrews 1 and 2, 12, 1 and 2. Oh, okay, this is going to be fun. Uh-oh. Something to be said about wireless. Preparing for the race ahead. Sorry, ladies, it's not a Mother's Day message. Phil, I guess, just ignored the fact it was Mother's Day today when he made up these things. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's just so awesome to be able to serve you in this way. I just pray, Father, that you would just touch my lips with the words that you want to be said, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you just open all our hearts to the message. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Moving forward. That's the expression I hear over and over again at work. Trevor probably knows about it. My boss uses that expression so often, it just drives me crazy. And when she came in, there was all kinds of problems at work. And she's trying to tell us to, basically trying to tell us to just ignore the past. The past is gone. You know, things have happened. Get over it. Let's move forward. And, you know, she's right. We often need to stop looking backwards and to move forwards. You know, it's just part of life. Moving forward is what we do in our faith once we receive Jesus, our Lord and Savior, isn't it? If we don't move forward, we'll either stagnate like water in a ditch or just fall back into our old lives slowly, as in Psalm 1. Moving forward means many things, but what recently stands out to me personally is Jesus' words in Mark 8, verse 34 and 35. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. The overall theme in Hebrews is encouragement. It's encouragement for us to join in a forward movement with God. We are called, regardless of the risk, to run like Jesus, with Jesus, the race set before us. This race that we are partaking will take us out of our comfort zones, our parents' safe lives, into a deeper and more intimate and more vulnerable relationship with Jesus. We at Bible Fellowship Assembly live very comfortable lives and are among the wealthiest 5% of the people on this planet. As a result of this, we often forget how much we ignore the grace that God has given us. Meanwhile, our brothers and sisters in poor, oppressed, and dangerous part of this planet daily risk their lives for our Savior. No questions. Further on in Mark 10, verse 25, Jesus said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." That's talking about us. That's 5% of the world. Hebrews 12 speaks of two important realities. One is to move forward. We must run the race, and that race will be difficult. But that's good. And the second one is every one of our steps in this race will be energized by a living God. Start off by looking at reality one. You know, it's really funny. I was on the internet and I was Googling images of running. And guess who the second picture was on Google? This is a young brother from Timmins Pentecostal Church named Jeremy Borgia. Jeremy is fast. He is fast. In fact, he's probably one of the fastest young runners in Ontario. He runs what they call Second Ontario, and as a result of his accomplishments, has recently received the possibility of an athletic scholarship at Liberty University. It's quite an accomplishment. But Jeremy, like all runners, knows the pain that you must accept if you are to achieve greatness in your sport. There's pain involved. The expression, "what doesn't kill you makes you stronger," is true in athletes. For muscles to grow stronger, they must be worked to the point of pain. But to an athlete, it's a satisfying pain because he or she knows that it will lead to a stronger body. Hebrews 12:1. The author calls us to run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's look at reality too. Part of that race that we're involved, that we are in, involves our struggle with sin. But who are we focused on in the race? Jesus. In verse 3, the author reminds us, "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." And the author further says, "In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood." That's always been a real eye-opener. When I remember I first read that, you know, and you feel those struggles that you have with sin. But this really puts it in perspective. You know, have we resisted to the point of blood, shedding our blood? We look back at verse 1, we see that besides Jesus, there are many witnesses who have lived by faith in the Old Testament. And this was spoken last week by Wade in chapter 11. These real people are our inspiration. If we are to excel in running, we need someone to run against. If we are to excel in our struggles with sin, we need to look up to others who have succeeded in their struggle with sin. part of their struggle included being disciplined by God. This discipline is what energizes us. When I was a kid, my parents would discipline me when I did something that was inappropriate or just simply bad. They did it not out of anger, though I tell you, many times I pushed a lot of buttons. But they did it out of love. They cared for me and wanted the best for me. And because of that, they disciplined me. I'd often feel bad, frustrated, even angry when disciplined. This was a reaction to the emotional and sometimes physical pain by a young boy who did not understand the big picture of my parents' love. However, I would always respond to my parents' love and get over it and move on. Most often becoming a better person because the results of the consequences of my inappropriate behavior. Discipline is the consequences of inappropriate behavior. It's the same as with sin. We did the same with our children, and we are pleased to say that Emily and Ivan are doing a great job doing the same with theirs. God loves us way more than our earthly parents do. For that reason, He also disciplines us. This discipline is one of His gifts to us. If we are in a relationship with God, He will let us know when we screw up in our lives. He does this because, like our parents, He wants the best for us. And part of that is becoming more like His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants us to be holy. And He will do whatever is necessary to encourage us in the pursuit of holiness. Verse 5 to 7, the author reminds us, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the ones He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? For what son is there whom father does not discipline? His own son, Jesus, endured the temptations of this world, remained holy even to death on the cross, and as a result was rewarded that paramount position on the right side of his throne in heaven. Something I'll never forget, the winter of the first year that we started up the grid. That was way before you guys. One of the boys sat next to me in the youth room and told me that he'd watched The Passion the night before. I don't know where he stands in his relationship with the Lord. But after a moment of silence, he just sat there after saying it to me. He said to me, and he had tears in his eye when he said it, I never knew what he went through. I kind of wish he said for me. Jesus set the standard that is the goal in the race of our lives. The final reward, not for winning, but completing the race. This is not a race that we're running to win. It's a race that we're running to complete. It's a marathon. The final reward for not winning, but completing this race, is found in eternal life with God and all the saints in heaven. Verse 12, the author then says, "For the moment of discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And training for that race is what discipline is for. It hurts, but we become stronger. Next verse, the author seems to be playing the part of our running coach. Lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. You can almost hear a coach in high school saying that. Lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. One thing I've learned from physical fitness is that when you stop exercising, you quickly lose what you've gained. You become lazy. Unfortunately, that's the default position of the human body, is laziness. One needs to push oneself to again move forward and start up the exercise game again. It will again hurt as we try to regain where we were before we stopped exercising. But that pain will lead to gain, and will again will become stronger. The author further says, as part of this race, to strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble and it becomes defiled. We're being told to get right with both men and God and strive for holiness without which we will never be right with God. This is a very serious calling. Look at the consequences of not being holy, without which no one will see the Lord. If we do not, as Christians, live holy and righteous lives, how are others going to come to know the Lord? Those who don't know. In that race, we have to set the example, and we have to encourage others. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. During this race, we're not only to strive for our own completion of the race, but at the same time, to ensure others in the race get to the finishing line as well. We are not only to be holy, but we're also encourage each other to remain holy. When we're on that race, we have to encourage those who are racing with us. Like us, they could so easily fall behind or give up. And giving up doesn't cut it. Part of that encouragement comes with discipline. Encouraging means as well that if we see a brother or a sister who's falling, slipping, we need to tell them about it. That's so important. Who else is going to tell them? It's not going to be a non-Christian. It's got to be one of their brothers and sisters. This is an act of love. And we need to show that love to each other as Christians. Again, remember, the book of Hebrews is a book of encouragement to a whole pile of people who were slipping behind at that time. It is so easy for corruption to inch its way into fellowship. For example, we can't become bitter towards a brother or sister because we feel that he or she has wronged us. We need to remember God's grace to us and start extending that grace towards others. Hebrews reminds us that we have graduated by the blood of Christ from Mount Sinai. And we look at Mount Sinai, it was terrifying. It's a mountain, earthquakes, smoke. It was a mountain that was so holy that even if an animal happened to wander onto it, it was supposed to be stoned. This is the Old Testament. Mount Sinai, where God seemed so distant and we were in constant fear. But we've moved on to Mount Zion, where we see God for whom He is, perfect love, which drives out fear for those who love and obey Him. Drives out fear for those who love and obey Him. We become closer to God through Jesus Christ's act on that cross. If we persevere in our race towards holiness, our relation with God will become more and more intimate. As a result, our lives and our attitude will change. Instead of being aggressive, manipulative, and bitter because of fear, we will enjoy the grace of God and be free to run and risk and give. Being free to run. I remember my earlier years in Timmins, I actually did run. And I still remember that first kilometer running was painful. It was really painful. The lungs would just burn. It seemed that after you got past that, it was just as it was coming. I used to run from my house and run the trail and get up to just where the hill, go start going up the hill there behind Northern College. Suddenly that pain would disappear. And then felt free to run. If we persevere in our race towards holiness, our relation with God will become more and more intimate. As a result, our lives and our attitudes will change instead of being aggressive. Okay, we said that, didn't we? We will find a God who doesn't cry out vengeance, but rather a God who cries out forgiveness. To complete this race, all we need to do is to fix our eyes on Jesus. Receive the gifts of grace abounding around us, and to run and receive. And while we run, give generously, forgive, risk, and join God's forward movement in the world without fear, full of faith. Does running hurt? Yes. Is it worth it? Yes. In close, I'd like us to sing, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." I'd like us to stand and sing this. When I hear this song, I keep thinking of Pilgrim's Progress. I'm sure it was written based on Pilgrim's Progress. Heavenly Father, it's so awesome to be able to be in that marathon, to be in that race towards Zion. Father, just pray that each and every one of us, that we may be able to run that race with that energy that you can provide us, to push away the sin that pulls us back, to encourage others who are in that race with us to be holy, for us to pursue holiness. And Father, through our actions, through our love, through our forgiveness, that we can help others to join that race with us. Lord, just be with us as we depart from this place, realizing that as we leave this building, we are entering the field of evangelism in a town that doesn't know you. We pray this in your most precious name. Amen.